Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank? Having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/move to gas.
Now, when he was a little boy, Todd Akamesis nearly drowned, but he says the experience left him with an extraordinary ability that he can float outside his body. Todd, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Could you start by telling us what happened to you when you were 5 years of age that sort of began all this?
Absolutely. I used to go to a landfill with with my father and brothers every weekend. My father was a builder, and this was his, I guess, his way of bonding with us, spending some time with us while getting things done. And the actual landfill was an old fishery, so they were gradually filling in all the old fish ponds. And some of the fish ponds still had water. And I remember being next to the water's edge on one occasion and just getting really curious. I was 5 years old. I wasn't a very good swimmer. I fell in and I pretty much sank to the bottom. And I remember suddenly having this very bright flash of light and a sense that, you know, I wasn't alarmed. And then I was, after the bright flash of light, I was standing next to a tree in a city environment. And it was not where, you know, my physical body was. And what was really strange about the experience was it was as if I wasn't at that point when that happened. My consciousness was no longer the consciousness of a child. It was as if my IQ and everything sort of leapt in sort of degrees. And it was quite fascinating. Had a whole experience happen around it, but just in a nutshell, I then, after a few minutes, I guess, one of my older brothers was pulling me out of the water.
Yeah, and were you conscious when they were pulling you out of the water at that stage?
I was conscious when they were pulling me out of the water. It was quite fascinating in the sense that I had an entire experience while under the water, which I guess, you know, some would say, you know, could have been a hallucination. But I think, you know, with me and the experiences I've had in life, I've just got to a point where I no longer doubt myself.
Now, as you say, the experience you had, if you like, the person you were, was like a grown-up person from your description. Did that then have an effect upon you as a five-year-old? Did you go back to being a five-year-old, or were you suddenly more than that?
For a brief time afterwards, I certainly remember looking at the world in a completely different way and almost through the eyes of more than a five-year-old. And it was soon after I had that near-death experience where I started having lucid dreams. And a lucid dream is when you are aware that you're dreaming while you are still dreaming. So, you know, when that started happening, you know, that itself started to change things, you know, with regards to my consciousness, with the way that I viewed the world. Especially when I had, you know, dreams which were as real as my waking life, especially when they involved physicality, because that I found very, you know, sort of intriguing as a child, that a dream could be as physically real as my waking world.
And so how old were you then when you started to have the full out-of-body experiences?
I was 6 years old, so this is what I would consider a byproduct of having the near-death experience. You know, it just started to happen one night in the middle of the night, and I had some very strange sensations as if I was on a roller coaster. I had like a butterfly effect, or when, you know, sort of, you know, in your stomach, or when you are on an airplane and you go through turbulence, that feeling that you get in your gut. And then suddenly I was sort of standing in the middle of my bedroom, and I remember looking back and seeing my physical body lying in bed.
These were separate then to the lucid dreams you were having.
Yes. And as a child, I could clearly see the difference in one experience, the lucid dream experience. And I'm obviously using these labels now as an adult, articulating those experiences. I didn't have those labels as a child. So when I had the one experience, which I now label a lucid dream, I would never see my physical body. I would never, as such, see my physical bedroom in an experience in exactly the same way my bedroom actually looked. It was always different in some way. And I always became aware during the experience, during the dream, whereas with the out-of-body experience, again, labeling that now, whereas I didn't have that terminology then, something different would happen. I would usually be woken from sleep, with one of these sensations that I described, like being on a roller coaster and then, you know, suddenly being sort of levitating in the air or standing in my bedroom and seeing my physical body and seeing an almost high definition replica of my bedroom.
Have you been able to learn to control it?
As a child, I wasn't able to control it. It was always spontaneous. As an adult, I'm now 47 years old. For the last 13 years, I've been practicing techniques to get better at doing this at will. I've now got to the point where I can typically go from standing to lying down on a sofa, sitting down in a chair, and within 20 to 30 minutes of achieving a deeply relaxed state, I can then enter an altered state of consciousness where I can then sort of feel my way beyond my physical body, if you like.
And for somebody who's in the room when you're doing that, does it look like you're asleep?
For all intents and purposes, to them, I would be asleep.
Right. So when you leave your body, where do you go?
There's typically two types of experience that I personally have. One is what I would refer to as a classic out-of-body experience, where you feel a lot of energy sensations, and then suddenly you're maybe standing in the room where your body is. You then maybe walk through a wall or a doorway, literally walking through it, not as in if you know you're opening it, but through a wall, and then maybe you're outdoors. That's what's referred to as a classic out-of-body experience. And then you have another type of experience where you go deeper beyond, you know, the awareness of physical reality, go beyond what I would say into the spirit world, what some would call it.
And what does that look like, or how do you experience it?
I think it's mostly experienced what you would call the afterlife dimensions of reality. You would mostly experience it based on your current perception of reality. So if my current time frame, which is, you know, the 21st century, I would usually encounter the, you know, those afterlife environments in a very similar way. And I think this is you know, really, there's a really intelligent design here within all of this. And I think it is purposeful in the sense of gradually breaking us out of our sort of conditioning of our current state of reality.
And when you're in the spirit world, or whatever one wants to call it, do you meet other beings there?
I've met deceased loved ones, which I've been able to get closure with. My father died, my biological father died when I was 10 years old. He died without me being able to say goodbye in hospital while I was at school. I met him during an out-of-body experience, and we were able to meet and say hello and me get some closure. My stepfather died when I was 23 years old. We never had a really good relationship. When I started having these experiences as an adult, I was able to visit him in his new home on another dimension, if you like, of reality, and again, get closure to be able to, you know, forgive each other and sort of love each other. So yeah, you can meet deceased loved ones. You can meet other people who are out of their body or unconsciously in a dream state. And I would say, yes, you can meet other beings, you know, obviously defined on what we consider, you know, life, sentient life or even other types of just consciousness in general.
And that other sort of consciousness, would they be equivalent to what some people might call angels or even God?
Yes, I would say that in my travels over the last 13 years, I've met a variety of consciousness, including what you would consider an angel, which I think is partly us projecting our beliefs on other beings, and we're in realities which are very thought responsive in nature. So they literally, a thought becomes an action. I think sometimes other beings will come to us in a form which we can accept as well as handle in that situation. And I do think we then genuinely do meet beings who have a particular orientation, like perhaps what we would call an ET consciousness or a non-human consciousness.
Now, presumably you've had conversations with them. Everybody who died, are they all there? Is Hitler there?
I've met celebrities in the afterlife. I've met the consciousness of beings from eons past. But we're dealing with a very dynamic state of consciousness where, from our perspective, we're very conditioned with linear time, whereas in these other dimensions of reality, time is very different. It's almost as if we're in a different time zone entirely. And even the laws of physics in these spaces are different from the laws of physics as what we're aware within our reality.
Mm. Is everybody there? Have you asked that question?
Pretty much any time I've ever wanted to visit a particular consciousness, I've been able to meet an aspect of that being. That does not mean that we only have one life and then we're in this afterlife state. In most cases, I find that people will come back to this level through unfinished business, through cause and effect. But even if they have a new personality on this level, you can still meet the old personality from another level.
Yeah, I suppose in traditional religion, or in most traditional religions at least, there seems to be a relationship between how you acted in this life and what's going to happen to you after you die. Does that relationship actually exist? Hence my question about Hitler. There are all sorts of horrible people one would imagine don't deserve to be in the afterlife, but are there aspects of those people there?
Yes, and I would say that there are different levels, different dimensions of reality, where there is a like-for-like rule that exists across these different dimensions of reality. I've never had the experience where an energy like, a person like Hitler gets a get-out-of-jail-free card and goes straight to what all the great religions would call heaven. I find that, there's no particular God that is forcing people into any environment. I think this is very much, we're living in a system of consciousness where it's very self-governing, almost as if a being created these intertwined states of consciousness with certain rule sets, which are then sort of like cause and effect, karma, as some would call it, which are not designed as a system of punishment, but designed as a system of helping beings grow through their own, actions, through their own thoughts and beliefs. And I think, just like here on this level of reality, if I walk around with a particular mindset that people are bad, I'm probably going to see more bad in the world than good. And I think, this like-for-like concept is in effect across the multidimensional reality. So I think, something like Hitler, a consciousness of Hitler, this is only one aspect of a soul. This is not the entirety of the soul. And this is a learning environment from my perspective. So it's not like, this being is damned for all of eternity. I think consciousness is much more interesting than that, but I don't find that everybody is in the same place, if that's what you're asking me. No, that's not the case.
In the first sort of out-of-body experience, which seems to happen in this world, can you go wherever you want? Can you lie down and say, I fancy going to Paris today?
I would say you can look at it that you have the freedom to go where you want. And I think then there's, of course, what we would consider license, where you feel you have the right to go anywhere you want. So I think there, like in waking life, there is ethics involved in what I personally do. But I would not say that that's something maintained by everybody who has these experiences. I think you pretty much can go where you want to go. I mean, there are obviously urban legends about certain places we can't go, like maybe government-controlled facilities. I don't personally subscribe to that. I think, again, consciousness is more interesting than that. And I think even the darker side to life has a lot more interesting characteristics to it than that level of control.
Have you ever been approached, Todd, by any government agency or otherwise who might want you to do a bit of spying for them?
I have, actually, funny enough. And on the occasions I have been, sort of approached, I've always, given a very loving response, which is no. I think, sometimes, the most unconditionally loving response can be no. I think this is really, we're letting our own morals guide us in our lives. And I certainly do the same with my out-of-body practice.
After one dies, can you come back here then? If you're able to astral project into one of the many next places there may be, can people come back?
Absolutely. I found I have three children, and two of the children, I've actually been able to identify a few of their past lives. And my youngest daughter, I actually met in the pre-birth state before she entered this level of reality. And I met her as her adult consciousness from a previous life before she started making the transition back into this level of reality.
Crikey, what was she in her previous life?
She was actually married to my oldest, to my son. And this is an interesting aspect to this. I find that, you know, it's called reincarnation in some cultures. And I think when we do come and reincarnate back into this level, you know, we do have very intimate connections with what I would call our soul family, for want of better sort of word. And I think, you know, we do sort of cross time and space many times between different levels to come back here, whether, again, it's for more learning or whether we feel we have some unfinished business or some cause and effect, you know, the karma to actually to burn, if you like, through a new lifetime. But with regards to my daughter, she was actually, her and my son were kind of like a Bonnie and Clyde type characters. They were involved in a gang. At the sort of end of their life, they were actually sort of wanting to leave the gang. They had like sort of a turn of a sort of events that led them to want to leave. And like in most gangs, you know, typically one of the only ways out is usually through death. And they were actually caught, and they were sort of shot at point blank range. Both my son and my daughter share the same birthmark on the temple of their forehead.
Wow. Have you met yourself then, or previous incarnations of yourself?
I have met myself in both those capacities. I've met what I would consider future versions of me, as well as past versions of me. So, yes, from all spectrums.
What were you previously, and what are you going to be next?
What I'm going to be next, this is, I think, something still well under my decision-making processes. The future versions of me seem to sort of live off-world now. They don't seem to sort of have the desire to reincarnate on this level. Past versions of me, I was a very corrupt politician back in the 1940s during World War II in Egypt. I've been a young boy in the Indian subcontinent. I've been female sort of incarnations. So there's a whole range of things that I've explored past life-wise and all through the out-of-body state of consciousness. I find that when we're out-of-body, we are able to transverse what we would consider a timeline, past, present, or future. And I think this is because from the perspective of the essence of who and what we really are, it is fundamental, whereas time and space is not fundamental.
This is very interesting. So then if you could trace your timeline back through history and into prehistory, is there some point at which Todd Akamesis actually started and didn't exist prior to that?
For sure. And I think, you know, this is still an area of deep research for me. The moment a soul actually comes into being. I know there are a lot of thought systems and belief systems surrounding this, as if maybe all souls were created equally at the same time, or souls are constantly being birthed into existence. And I would probably be in the later camp at the moment. I think there are different ways that souls can come about. I think a soul itself, as it starts to advance and evolve and, you know, mature, that it can actually become more responsible within systems and can actually start to create. So what I would label as a creator soul.
Todd Akamesis, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
My pleasure, Sean. Thank you.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.